The University of British Columbia says it deeply regrets its handling of the case of retired judge and former law professor Mary Ellen Turpel-Lafond, who was the subject of a CBC investigation about her claims of Indigenous heritage. Now, a statement signed by interim UBC President Deborah Buzzard says that the university is reviewing its processes regarding the Indigenous status and truthfulness in hiring. Now, the statement from UBC comes on the same day that the Vancouver Island University in Nanaimo says it has accepted the return of an honorary doctorate from Turpel-Lafond after it told her it was reviewing her eligibility for the honor. Now, the university had initiated a process in response to requests from the university community and a group called the Indigenous Women's Collective. Now, Ms. Turpel-Lafond was presented with an honorary law degree by the school in 2013. The investigation began after there were concerns raised over Ms. Turpel-Lafond's claims to Indigenous ancestry. Now, for decades, she had said that she was a Treaty Indian of Cree ancestry, but documents uncovered indicate that she is of entirely European descent. Turpel-Lafond has received more than 10 honorary degrees from Canadian institutions. Royal Roads University on Vancouver Island as well presented Turpel-Lafond with an honorary degree in 2016. Ms. Turpel-Lafond was a tenured law professor and served as a director of the Indian Residential School History and Dialogue Center, announced this month. She was no longer with the university as well. Joining me now to discuss the return of the honorary degree is Dr. Deborah Saucier, President and Vice Chancellor of Vancouver Island University. Dr. Saucier, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's good to be here, Jazz, and thank you for inviting me.
A very difficult topic and conversation, but an important one to have, certainly in regards to Ms. Mary Ellen Turpel-Lafond. When did the process begin at VIU in regards to looking at the honorary degree that was given to Ms. Turpel-Lafond?
We began the process before Christmas, and we invited her to respond as part of the process. We were going to be proceeding throughout the next little while to take it through our governance structures to understand the eligibility for this award and honor.
Mm-hmm. And so she voluntarily, without you sending in an official request to return it, she voluntarily returned it based on the conversation?
We invited her to provide materials to for the various governance bodies to evaluate, and rather than that, she provided a letter voluntarily surrendering her honorary doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was late Monday afternoon.
I see. Was it a difficult decision for you and your executive team in the Senate to go through this process to ask for the return of the honorary degree?
We did not get to that point. We were at the point of collecting information to put a package together to take through our governance bodies. And so we actually had only started the information gathering process when we invited her to participate and provide materials. And that was what the result was on Monday. I have not actually had the conversation with Senate yet about whether or not Dr. Turpel-Lafond remained eligible to have our highest award or honor, but rather she voluntarily relinquished it. Mm-hmm. Before we could start that.
In regards to starting this process, was it the broader conversation that was already out there in the public domain, or was it something local that convinced the school that they need to begin the process?
We received a number of requests from our community members to examine her continued eligibility for this award. And we take community participation very seriously here at VIU, and we felt that we had to start the process to evaluate the continued eligibility for this.
Mm-hmm. Will the school, and like all universities and colleges, do bestow honorary degrees on distinguished citizens? Do you think other universities should also be going through the similar process that VIU had just started?
I actually don't know where other universities are with respect to their processes or what their processes are. Universities are very idiosyncratic places and often have different governance structures, different committee levels and decision-making processes. However, I understand that many universities are probably going through the same kind of thing that we are right now, and undoubtedly in response to their communities and their communities' requests to examine this issue.
So in regards to the honorary degrees, the school will be reviewing its policies in regards to, you know, nominations or awarding an honor or awarding somebody an honorary degree moving forward. Is there a sort of a process to look at how you go about doing that at your school?
You bet. We have committed to actually evaluating our policy and processes around the awarding of honorary doctorates and also including evaluation of everything in that process to ensure that we're aligned with our legislation, but also to ensure that we can continue to have confidence in the ability to actually honor people who make significant contributions to the community.
Mm-hmm. And this is not, you're not the only school that may be looking at this, but in regards to somebody stating that they're a particular, of a particular ancestry, is there much you think a school can do in regards to verifying some of those claims that individuals, I'm talking broadly here, that in a rare case do make and they may not be of a certain heritage?
Again, you know, this is a significant issue for us at VIU, and we will be developing an Indigenous identity policy.
Mm-hmm.
When people assume Indigenous identity, it harms all Indigenous peoples because it takes their voice away, it takes their seat at the table away, and it doesn't do the kinds of things that, as a values-based institution, we stand for.
Are you of Indigenous heritage?
I'm a member of the Métis Nation of Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not from here. I was born in Saskatoon, and my family comes from my dad's side, first from the Red River Valley, and then from a small town outside of Batoche.
What more needs to be done broadly? And this is stepping away from this specific conversation in regards to educational institutions being more welcoming and more attuned to Indigenous, first of all, attracting students, but also just the culture itself and sort of infusing more of it in our studies and in our broader conversation, do you think? Is there more for universities and colleges to do in regards to on the educational side?
Absolutely, you bet. You know, one of the things that we know happen at universities is that it's a really important exploratory phase in your life for many young people. And if they can see folks that look like them, whether they're Indigenous or Black, Southeast Asian or the like, and that's in every aspect of the university, not just faculty, but, you know, folks who work in the library, folks who are working in the registrar's office, et cetera, they feel more comfortable and confident. And other aspects of ensuring a welcoming place include having culturally sensitive supports for folks, not having to explain why you might want to take time off to celebrate Diwali or Ramadan or solstice, right? And having those supports available will actually make universities more inclusive and just.
Dr. Sosi, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoyed our conversation. I appreciate you speaking openly about this particular topic as well. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.